It's NCAA tournament week, and the Big 12 has 8 teams in March Madness this year. I'm Pete Mundo with Heartland College Sports. He's Matthew Postens, our lead Big 12 basketball writer. And it is March. It is here, Matthew. And for a guy that does this basically all year round, you got to be fired up.
Yeah, it's like Christmas. It's like yes. We took the greatness of December and moved it into March just for basketball fans.
Just
it's
for
like,
us basketball fans.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. You know your bracket's going to get busted the first day, but you don't really care because you get to watch basketball from like 11:30 in the morning my time to 11:30 in the evening.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm going perfect this year, okay? I already know it. Okay. So anyway.
Right. Sure.
If you're new to the show on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Let's start this conversation as we talk about, you know, the first weekend for the Big 12 with the news from Tuesday night. Kevin McCullough is not going to play for Kansas at all in the tournament.
Yeah.
Bill Self sounded pretty fed up to me with Kevin McCullough. He's been dealing with this knee bruise for a few weeks. He didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. Last time we saw him was kind of hobbling around against Houston in that final regular season game. First off, I think Kansas is screwed. I think they're going to lose to Samford. I'll tell you why in a second. All right. What do you make of the end of this tenure for Kevin McCullough in a Jayhawks uniform, considering how well it went for, you know, the better part of nearly 2 years?
Yeah, it's a shame for him because his game really elevated this year. And for a guy who's been trying to get, you know, into that wheelhouse in the NBA draft where he actually gets drafted, I don't think this prevents him from getting drafted, but he's finally played like a potential first round pick this year, a guy that can create his own shot and do all the other things that he's still been doing, you know, since he was in college basketball, rebound, defend, all those other intangibles that make you the kind of player that could spend 10 years in the NBA. And I still think he can do that. But, Bill did sound a little miffed, you know, admittedly, in the clip that I saw. It could be he is.
Yeah.
Could be that McCullough's a slow healer. Could be that, you know, could be low pain tolerance. Could be any number of things. Because the one thing we don't know about, I know how my body heals from something. I don't know how Kevin McCullough's body heals from something. My pain tolerance and my ability to heal from something is going to be different than somebody else's.
That's true. Now, for this game with them playing Samford, I have liked Samford. I know, listen, Samford is one of those teams that I think is going to be trendy right now. And a lot of people are going to say, well, KU's down McCullough. They are not very good this year. And they're also going to point out that to open up the season, Samford lost to Purdue 98-45. So I understand all of that. However, when we look for the Cinderella stories, Samford is a top 10 3-point shooting team in the country. Kansas can't guard the three. Yep. McCullough's out. They looked like hot garbage against Cincinnati in the Big 12 tournament. It just feels like a year where Kansas doesn't have it and they get knocked out early. I don't like them in this game, and I certainly don't like them getting all that far in this tournament right now.
It's going to be really tough. I don't have them getting out of the Sweet 16 now. I think they can still beat Samford, but I think they're going to have to run everything through Hunter Dickinson, assuming Dickinson plays. And it sounds like he's going to, but you know, I think they're going to have to do some different things with their offense. It's going to have to be more, you know, post-centric, maybe some in and out, you know, throw it into Hunter, let him find the open guy, almost kind of make Hunter your distributor in a sense. Up at the top of the key, help him move the ball around to Furphy and Harris and those other guys. But he's going to have like a 28-14 kind of game. He's going to have to carry them in that first round game and hope that Samford isn't as deadly from three as they have been lately. So I think it's a 50-50 game now. I still think Kansas can win, but they really have absolutely no margin for error now at all. If any one little thing is off on Thursday, they'll probably lose.
Yeah, they will. Let's look at a very potential intriguing second round matchup. TCU as the 9 seed takes on Utah State in that first round. If they win that game and they're favored, they would likely take on Purdue, although, you know, Purdue's crapped the bed before in the tournament. We see it on a fairly regular basis. Not to jump ahead, but we're looking at the Big 12 here. We're looking at our Big 12 teams. We're looking at it from a first weekend perspective.
Yeah.
Does TCU have the juice to get to a Sweet 16, or is that too tall of an ask?
Nice. I don't think it's too tall of an ask. I'm actually been sitting here working on our TCU preview. This is an interesting game because TCU has a lot of stability in their program because Jamie's been there about 7 or 8 years. This is the first time they've ever been to 3 straight NCAA tournaments. And they're playing a team they haven't played since 1982. I just learned that. I just kind of assumed they play more often than that. But the last time they played was 1982. Utah State is 2-0 in the series. Doesn't really mean anything. It's just fun to think about. Danny Sprinkle came to Utah State from Montana State, where he took them to the tournament last year. That's where Raekwon Battle played his college ball before he went to West Virginia. Danny Sprinkle went to Utah State, didn't have a single returning point from his starting lineup, and built a team that nearly won the Mountain West Tournament Championship. So Utah State's a really good basketball team, and they're built kind of like TCU in that their leading scorer is a forward, good rebounder, good defender, team leader. A lot of what they do runs through him. They've got quality guards that can defend well and shoot well, just like TCU does. This is a 50-50 game to me. I think TCU can win just because their collective group is older. They're more experienced. They've got, you know, transfers that have played in the tournament before. They have TCU players that have played in the tournament before. I think that makes a little bit more of a difference in this kind of a game where, you know, one or two possessions are probably going to make the difference.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to Purdue, if we end up with that second round matchup, I was doing some digging on these two teams. And if there is a reason to like TCU to potentially pull off the upset, despite the fact that, of course, you know, Purdue is just not good lately in the NCAA tournament, it would be TCU ranking in the top 25 in the country in bench points. They have depth. We know that. And I looked up Purdue. They don't have anybody outside of their starters. They just don't. And they rank 214th in bench points. So on a quick turnaround, you know, if you get the, you know, some foul trouble on your side, why not? I mean, you're going to have to get some breaks. I don't love the matchup, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to find those kernels, Matthew, you know?
Well, they, you don't like a matchup with a 7'4" center. That's just, unless you've got a 7'4" center yourself, you're pretty much trying to figure out what you're going to do inside. And, you know, I don't think that TCU has anybody inside that can really match up with them. Ernest Uday Jr. is probably the most likely guy, but he's not, to me, he's not the best defender that they have on their team. They don't play a lot of zone. I might see them throw a little zone in there just to throw things off. The difference between this Purdue team from last year to this year is they have better scorers on the outside. So it's not all just dump the ball into Zach and let him work. They've got better shooters outside. So they're going to have the ability to spread TCU's defense out a little bit. That's why I think maybe running a little 2-3 zone, running a little 1-3-1 at them just to change the pace a little bit might help them out a little bit. And certainly getting Zach Edey in foul trouble is a good strategy. That means you got to drive the ball to the basket, and that means you have to not foul him yourself.
Yes, and you're right. Purdue is a top 5 3-point shooting team in the country this year, so it's not all through the big man, no doubt about it. All right, sticking in that regional, in the Midwest regional, Texas, they got a very generous seating in 7. I don't see him getting to the second weekend. It's just, you know, they got the playing game against Virginia or Colorado. Then it's probably Tennessee, who, you know, likes to put the ball in the basket. They get it up and down the court. That's what they do. They're a high scoring, high powered offense. I don't see Texas handling that well. I think that ends up being a shootout, and I don't see Texas winning that shootout. What about you?
I don't see them getting out of the first weekend either. And it's entirely possible they lose that first round game. I mean, first of all, you don't know who you're going to play until, 2 days before, because it's a first four game. Second of all, you're playing potentially Virginia, who is not a fast break team at all. They don't play transition. They play a lot of half court basketball. They play great defense. They really want to slow you down, and Texas wants to play at pace. That can wreak havoc with what you're trying to do from an offensive standpoint. Even if they do get past Virginia or Colorado State, you know, Tennessee, these are two coaches who know each other very well. Rodney Terry was an assistant for Rick Barnes. You know, people forget he's been at Texas a long time as an assistant under Barnes and then an assistant under Chris Beard. So not only does Rodney Terry know Rick Barnes's tendencies, Rick Barnes knows Roddy Terry's tendencies. And that combined with the athleticism that Tennessee seems to have throughout their lineup, I think gives them an edge. Texas has got a great guard in Max Asmus, and they've got a great forward in Dylan Dessou. How far they go really depends upon how much the rest of the team shows up.
Yeah, that's what it's going to come down to for Texas. And it just, you know, they've been fading down the stretch. They had that loss to K-State in the Big 12 tournament. I am selling Texas basketball stock right now, and they've been up and down all season anyway.
That's true.
Let's go to the South Regional, also the upper right side of the bracket for those of you who are visual listeners and viewers. That's the bracket that in the Big 12 has Houston and Texas Tech. Houston's the one, Tech is the six. I'll just say it. I think Houston gets to the Final Four. The defense obviously travels. I think the loss for Houston was great at the end of the Big 12 tournament. I know they're banged up. I know they're shorthanded. But I just think that this is – they proved themselves in this gauntlet of a Big 12 schedule. Yeah. And I think that this bracket, frankly, is pretty favorable for them as well. You know, whether you look at first or second round games, you look all the way to a potential Elite Eight against Marquette or Kentucky. I would like them in both of those as well. So I like Houston's path here. How do you see this playing out? Let's start with the Cougars before we talk about Tech.
Yeah, I like their path too. I've heard some people say that they don't like their path. And I think a lot of it has to do with the depth issues. I don't think people truly understand that sometimes coaches really just, you know, narrow their bench once they get into the tournament. And I don't think it's a big deal at this point in the season when you're talking about a potential for six games over 3 weeks to get to a national championship for you to play seven, maybe eight guys. And that's what Houston has right now. And they've got seven of the eight, you know, best players you can think of in terms of how they play together, what's expected of them, mm-hmm. and how they play for their coach, Kelvin Sampson. Longwood's not going to be a problem for them, I don't believe. Nebraska and A&M, they're very intriguing teams. I think A&M wins that game over Nebraska. I think Houston can beat A&M and get into the Sweet 16. It won't be the kind of game they played in December, but I still think that Houston has what it needs to get at least into the Sweet 16. I envision that second round game being close, but Houston finding a way. I think Jamal Shedd is in that mode now of, you know, after that championship game lost to Iowa State, you know, I'm going to have to carry these guys. And Jamal Shedd is plenty capable of doing that and still distributing the ball and making sure LJ Cryer and Emmanuel Sharp get their touches.
Now, Texas Tech has a very interesting path here. They're the sixth seed. They take on a red hot NC State team that just, of course, won the ACC tournament. If they get through there, it's probably Kentucky. And then on the bottom half of their quadrant of the bracket is likely Marquette, Florida, one of those two teams waiting after that. I don't love Tech's draw in this. Listen, I know they closed the regular season with four straight wins, but I'm looking at this thing and I'm saying, gosh, if they get like a Kentucky in the second round, Matthew, Kentucky's a team that we know what they do offensively. They're averaging, what, I think 90 points a game. And I'm trying to figure out how a team like Tech is going to keep up with them in that scenario. Even if they're cold, I don't know if Tech has the firepower.
They might not have the overall firepower, but I think they're a sneaky good defensive team. I don't think they've been given enough credit for how they've played defense throughout the year. And I think for a team like Kentucky that's so athletic, if you can frustrate them with your defense and especially set a tone early, you know, physically, that you're not going to give them easy shots, that you're not going to give them shots in the areas that they want, I think it can have kind of a cascading effect throughout a 40-minute game. You know, John Calipari's teams tend to be young because he has no problem going with one-and-done guys. And sometimes that works out for you, sometimes it doesn't. They've been trending up the past few weeks. They've been playing much better. But I think you can frustrate them defensively. And with young players especially, if you frustrate them defensively the right way, it can really have an impact on whether you can win or lose the game. Tech is a more experienced team overall when you count what they have holding over from last year and the transfers they brought in. All their transfers have NCAA tournament experience, so they know what this tournament is like. I think they beat NC State. I give them a puncher's chance against Kentucky, especially if Warren Washington is able to come back from his injury. You got to keep track of him and Darian Williams. I'm pretty sure Darian Williams is going to play. I'm not sure about Washington yet, but Washington sounds like he's close. And if they can get him back in the lineup, it gives them more heft inside. And I think it makes them beating NC State a little bit easier. So I see them getting to that second round, and then I'll give them a chance against Kentucky. But, you know, like you said, you know, the amount of points they average per game, you're going to have to play a near perfect game against them to slow them down and get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Grant McCaslin in year one gets this team to a Sweet 16, that is a tremendous success. Mm-hmm. And Tech fans should be very happy with that. And hell, you get to a Sweet 16, at that point, you're playing with some house money. So that part of that regional to me is one of the most intriguing portions of any regional in the country when you look at the way that, you know, it potentially breaks down. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Oakland's an interesting team. I mean, my mom lives near Oakland up in Michigan. It's just about 5 miles from her house. And Oakland's always been a really intriguing program at the mid-major level. They tend to turn out teams that can shoot the three really well, that defend well, that can press. They could give Kentucky some issues. I don't think they'll win, but they could give them some issues.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. Let's go to the East Regional. This is by far the best regional. UConn is there as the defending champs. Iowa State just won the Big 12 tournament. We know Illinois won the Big 10 tournament. Auburn is the fourth seed, won the SEC tournament. The committee really screwed this thing up, but we talked about that on Sunday.
Yale won the Ivy League. They're in there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Duquesne won the Patriot. They're in there.
Yeah.
Morehead State won their conference tournament too. So did San Diego State. Yes. So did UAB. Is there a team in the, but BYU, I think, is the only team in this region. Oh, well, no, BYU, FAU, but we got 7 or 8 tournament champions in here. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There's two ways to look at this. Chaos ensues or chalk ensues. I think we're getting an Elite Eight that is chalk between UConn and Iowa State. But before we get that far along here, the Big 12 teams, of course, BYU, Duquesne, that's a 6-11 game. And then you got Iowa State, South Dakota State. Let's start with BYU, Duquesne. That's one of the first games on Thursday. You know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, BYU, we know what they're good at. They shoot the three ball. Duquesne's got a pretty scrappy defense, but I'm taking BYU. But that second round matchup with Illinois, that worries me a little bit. It just, BYU, that kind of a team worries me because you're out of your element, you're not at home, and you rely a lot on the three-point ball. And if you get cold, we've seen it, we see it every year in the Big 12. You get cold as a team that relies heavily on the three ball, you're out of this thing pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I'm kind of with you there. I see them beating Duquesne. And then with Illinois, you know, it's, with Illinois, it's can you slow down Terrence Shannon Jr., who used to play at Texas Tech?
Yeah.
He is having a phenomenal year on the floor. And, you know, Illinois has been that team out of the Big Ten, along with Purdue, that has had some trouble, you know, getting out of the first weekend of the tournament. So, mm-hmm. you know, if BYU beats Duquesne, plays Illinois in the second round, one, it comes down to how they shoot from the three, absolutely. But two, BYU doesn't get enough credit for how well it plays defense. They played defense at a strikingly good Big 12 level this year. If they can find ways to frustrate Terrence Shannon Jr., kind of take him out of the game, get him into foul trouble, make Illinois rely on some of its other, you know, bench players in that sense, I think there's a real chance for them to get out of there and get to the Sweet 16. But, you know, I feel like that's a 50-50 game at that point between BYU and Illinois, should they both get that far.
Yes. And, you know, you mentioned BYU not getting enough credit. I was going through some numbers earlier, and BYU is top 25 in the country in rebounding margin. I mean, you wouldn't think that with how they play, but even when they're, you know, bombs away, they do crash the boards and they do it pretty well. So. Yeah.
And that's one reason they emphasize that, because they shoot the three so much, they're expecting long rebounds. So they're emphasizing not just Treor and Khalifa being close to the basket to rebound. They're emphasizing their other guards to go to the basket and go to certain areas for rebounds away from the basket.
Now, Iowa State is going to be a very trendy pick. I mentioned earlier, I think they're getting to an Elite Eight against UConn. But I'm not going to lie. It worries me a little bit because we've seen them win the Big 12 tournament and then have issues going back the last decade. If they win the Big 12 tournament, they have typically disappointed in the NCAA tournament. I think this year is different. I think this team is different. I heard a story anecdotally after the Big 12 tournament wrapped up on Saturday. They did not go back to the hotel.
They
just basically went home, and TJ said, this is a business trip. We're out. We're going to Ames. We're prepping for next week. This is not like the end all be all celebration. I like that. The defense obviously is incredible, and it's a defense that is far superior to anything they've had over these last, you know, several years or so. So for that reason, I think they'll go far, but you know, I say that with a little bit of a grain of salt, just because of what I've seen when they've had this success in Kansas City and what that typically has led to.
Yeah, they have the right mindset. I took a video of the last seconds of that game with Houston, and you win a tournament like that, you expect a celebration, and it was basically them going to the bench, high-fiving themselves, and going to shake hands. I mean, it was almost like you just won a conference tournament, like jump around.
Yeah,
there was none of that. I mean, it was all business. Like, we expected to win. We're ready to move on to the next step. The mindset with this team is much different than the one in 2019 when they won in Kansas City, beat Kansas, and there was that wild celebration after that game on the floor. The first round game is intriguing just because they're playing where TJ Otzelberger got his start as a head coach, South Dakota State, mm-hmm. and their coach was the guy who replaced him, Danny Jacobson. Yeah. And he's had almost as much success there as Otzelberger had in three seasons. So it's funny because it's kind of that Rodney Terry, Rick Barnes dynamic. They kind of know each other well enough to know each other's tendencies. That said, you know, I think Iowa State has more talent. I think their mindset's in the right place. I think their defense is going to absolutely frustrate South Dakota State. And I don't think Milan Molis. Oh, I don't want to mispronounce his name.
I know. Every time I go to screw it up.
Milan Momcilovic.
There you go.
I really think he's heating up from the three-point line. He's done it the last two games in the Big 12 tournament. I think that, hearing him talk the other week said, if we're going to have a big tournament run, I have to have a big tournament. Like, he's in the mindset. And this is a true freshman thinking like this. So TJ's got everybody moving in the right direction. So I think I honestly think they kind of cruise to their first round win, if we're being honest. And then, Washington State or Drake in the second round, that would be, if Drake wins, that's interesting because Drake's half an hour away up in Des Moines.
Yeah, so, that's a fun one.
Yeah, it's another crazy little thing that could happen in this particular place. I think there's an outside chance that Sweet 16 could be BYU and Iowa State.
There, I know. That'd be a fun Big 12 matchup in the Sweet 16, no doubt about it. That would be a blast. I was looking at that myself. I've got that actually in my bracket. So let's go to the West Regional, which is by far to me the worst regional, the regional that's going to see the most amount of chaos. But for the Baylor Bears, I think that opens up a tremendous opportunity. I think Baylor has the second best chance to get to a Final Four in the Big 12 after Houston. Just because of the path and the regional. Iowa State is obviously the best or second best team in the league, depending on who you ask, but the path matters so much. And this West Regional is filled with teams that are historically bad in the tournament, like Arizona, maybe should not have even been a one seed, like North Carolina, and a team like Alabama that has stumbled down the stretch. There's just a lot not to like. And then there's Baylor, who's wildly talented and has consistently been a top 15 team in the country all year.
Yeah. This region's wide open. And we kind of talked about that Sunday. We both kind of agreed. This is the region where I'm not going to say anybody could get out of here, but I think any of the top 10 seeds could get out of this bracket and get to the Final Four, depending upon how things go. Nevada is extremely talented. I think they're underseeded, if we're being totally honest. I don't think they should be a 10. They should be like an 8. Mm-hmm. Dayton's a really good team. That's a really intriguing first round matchup to me. And that'll be the team that most likely plays Arizona in the second round. Colgate and Baylor. I think Baylor matches up, very well with them just in terms of their ability to defend. I don't think Colgate has seen anything like what Baylor does on defense with that 2-3 press that they extend up into the half court and just frustrate teams. And I think going back to that has really helped Scott Drew's young team, because mm-hmm. as opposed to being focused on, you know, trying to, you know, what are we going to switch on this? Are we going to, you know, we're going to go over the screen defensively. You can defend an area and defend it well, force teams into areas where you want them to be, and then double team. And I think it's really worked out for that young team in terms of streamlining their thinking and also keeping them a little rested for the offensive side of the floor too. That's part of what a zone can do for you. So I think they're going to beat Colgate pretty easily, unless Walter, Bridges, and Dennis do what they did in the first, in their quarterfinal game in the Big 12 tournament, which was not make a field goal in the first half.
Yeah.
All three of those guys have to come to the party.
They do.
As long as they come to the party, they'll win their first round game. And then it's a matter of getting either New Mexico or Clemson. New Mexico is sneaky good. You know, that's Rick Pitino's kid.
They are. I mean,
they're sneaky good.
I'm glad you brought that up. That game in some ways worries me more than whoever they face in the Sweet 16. I mean, maybe it's Arizona, but they stink in the tournament, so maybe it's not. That New Mexico game, their strength of schedule, their net ranking is all in the top 30.
Yeah.
That's a really good second round game and will be very underrated if we get it.
Yeah. And then if we don't get New Mexico, Baylor gets Clemson. Oh, wasn't it the Clemson coach that had a problem with the Big 12's non-conference strength of schedule?
Well, yeah, screw him. Screw Clemson. I picked New Mexico not only because they're the better team, but because if this Clemson – although, you know what? Now you got me double thinking it. Maybe we should root for Clemson so that way we can have Baylor beat the piss out of them by 35 points. That's probably the better way to do this.
The good news is Scott Drew doesn't hold grudges that I know of.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But don't forget, Scott Drew's brother's in this region.
Oh, that's right.
Bryce Drew. Head coach at Grand Canyon. They got St. Mary's in the first round. Grand Canyon is another one of those trendy teams that they won the WAC tournament. So I've seen them play a little bit because my alma mater's in the WAC. Really good shooting team. Really good rebounding team. Plays great defense. They've got great aim. If you saw the end of the title game with UT Arlington. No, I'm sorry. It was UT Arlington threw the ball at the Grand Canyon.
Threw the ball.
So they can take a hit. They can take a hit literally from a
basketball.
Exactly.
Like the end of that game.
Yeah. So, you know, Grand Canyon could do some damage in the top half of that bracket.
Yeah, no doubt. So that covers all the Big 12 teams. And what we're looking at is the NCAA tournament gets started. Do you have your final four yet, Matthew?
I don't, actually. I wait until Wednesday night to do my bracket just because I want to know who's won the 10-11 game. There's a 10 game Wednesday night.
In case you pick a 10 seed in the final four?
Like UCLA a few years ago?
Okay, fine. Enough. Okay, so who's the 10 seed you're eyeing for that final four run?
If there's a 10 seed that gets deep in this tournament, I think it might be Colorado State. I just think they're kind of like New Mexico. They're really intriguing. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about them. They're a really good defensive team. They can shoot the three. They've got height. They can rebound. They do some really interesting things offensively. If they get out of that game with Virginia, that would put them in Texas's path. And I could see them beating Texas, honestly, in that kind of scenario. So, you know, Colorado State to me is the team out of those four 10 seeds that could do the most damage.
All right. I'm going to give you my final four and championship and just let you react. All right. You can tell me you love it. You can tell me it's the worst thing ever. I might fire you if you do that, but you can tell me whatever you want because we've known each other now for so long. My final four is Houston, out of the South. In the Midwest, I'm taking Creighton as the 3 seed. They've been sneaky good, underrated out of the Big East. In the West, might have caught on, I'm going with Baylor as the 3 seed. And then out of the East, it was a coin flip on UConn and Iowa State, but I'm going with UConn. And then
So you didn't want to go with the three Big 12 teams in the Final Four and try to emulate the 1985 tournament.
I didn't want to be too biased. I didn't want to go. You're right. I didn't want to duplicate the, you know, 85 Big East tournament. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be too biased. So I went UConn, Baylor, Houston, Creighton, and I've got UConn and Houston in the championship. And from there, I'll let you figure it out. I'm not sure I've got my answer on it quite yet, but that's where I'm at. So give me your reaction to my Final Four.
Well, I think Houston's got a good shot to get there. We kind of talked about their region a little bit. It's not, to me, it's not overwhelming. I think that if they end up getting, you know, to the Elite Eight, I think their worst matchup is probably Marquette, because they're the most like Houston in terms of how they play. Athletic, highly defensive, like to get up and down the floor. You know, if it ends up going chalk in that region, that could be a really bad matchup for Houston. Creighton, I saw them play a couple years ago when Kansas won the entire thing. They were Kansas's, I want to say they were their second round opponent. And I mean, a lot of those guys are still there. You know, they've always got height. They're always really good defensively. They're not going to score a ton of points on you, but they do everything well. And they're not a team that's going to get flustered in a tournament like this. So I could see them getting pretty deep. Baylor, like we said, I'm not going to say that region's a cakewalk, but there's a path for them. Like I could see them beating Colgate, beating either Clemson or New Mexico. And then you're getting either,
Michigan State, North Carolina, I've got Grand Canyon. Yeah. You mentioned them. I've got Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16. So.
Oh, gosh. That would be like Scott Drew's worst nightmare. If you think he has a hard time coaching against Jerome Tang. Imagine having to coach against his brother.
I think it's a great storyline. So you're right. I mean, maybe you say North Carolina. I don't think so.
I just don't think North Carolina is going to get to the Final Four. I could see them getting to the Elite Eight, but I think that's their ceiling. I mean, their second round game, if it's Michigan State, that's not going to be an easy game. Tom Izzo knows how to win these games.
I don't want Tom Izzo in the tournament. Mm. Who does?
I don't want any part of that.
No.
And UConn, I think they're built for this tournament. They proved it last year. They lost so little from last year's team. They've got so much experience. They're healthy. They just seem like they're tuned like a fine violin right now. And they know exactly who they are. They know exactly what they need to do. And there's a lot of comfort in that if you're a team that doesn't have questions about personnel, about how you deploy them, and about how you execute that against your opponent. Yep. I think they're the only team in the field where if you pitted them against the other 67 teams, I would probably take UConn.
Yep. I agree. And you know what, for me, the reason I picked that Final Four too, it's cliche, but so much of this tournament is coaching, and my Final Four has Hurley, Scott Drew, Kelvin Sampson, and McDermott. And those are four of the best coaches in the country in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you've got, one guy two of that have won national championships, one that's been to a Final Four and several Final Fours, and McDermott, a guy who's dying to get there for the first time.
And by the way, for those wondering, yes, I'm going with the Big 12 team. I'm going Houston to win it all. So there you go. I've got them over UConn in the championship game. Matthew, this is going to be a great few days. It's the best stretch to me of the sports calendar, the first 4 days of the tournament. And we're going to be doing plenty more of this over the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned. We'll be reading on the website, and we'll be talking to you soon, my man.
All right. You bet. Appreciate it. Don't forget, women, Friday starts Friday. Seven Big 12 teams. NIT is going on tonight. K-State, Cincinnati. A lot going on,
and we'll have all the coverage at heartlandcollegesports.com. If you're new, subscribe on YouTube. We appreciate you being here. Hit that thumbs up on the video as well. That helps us more than you realize as you're watching right now on YouTube Live, and subscribe to the podcast. We're going to have so much coverage for you, and I'll add this as well. We have, I'm glad I didn't forget this, we have a bracket challenge that we are doing. We are giving away basically a trophy, a Heartland College Sports trophy in a case to the winner of our bracket challenge. You enter it by going to our website and going to our members forums, and it's free to sign up. No charge, no nothing. Just go to our members forums, sign up there, and you can enter to win the Heartland College Sports Bracket Challenge. There it is. That's it right there. Matthew's flashing it on the screen. That's what you get. I mean, we are making up a trophy for our bracket challenge. That's what we're doing. Yeah. So get in, sign up, beat Matthew and I, although you know my final four, so don't pick the same one as me. And we'll do it again soon, Matthew. Great stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like a ring. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
In
yes.
case. Yes. Looks like a ring.
It's a ring in a case. We are getting it cased for the winner, by the way. Oh, gosh. Let's see. We'll wrap it up with this comment on YouTube Live from Kim. Pete, you're a conundrum. That's what my wife tells me every day. So on that note, we're out of time. Matthew, you're the man. And we'll be reading and watching and following all week.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Check us out at Heartland College Sports. Have a great day. Go Big 12.